You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
So the last few weeks, Pastor Gerber has walked us through. He walked us through those last chapters of 1 Peter, which we studied for 6 weeks. And as that series kept rolling, especially the last three or four weeks, a theme, an overall theme, started emerging. And I'm not sure if it was on purpose or not. Actually, I don't think it was. I really believe it was the Holy Spirit working through Pastor Gerber's heart, working on a theme that just kind of popped out. Gifts became the theme over and over again. Gifts like Jesus dying and rising for you, and gifts like Jesus forgiving you. Like every week, these ordinary things become miraculous. Gifts that might seem ordinary, but always a miracle from our gracious, merciful God. Gifts like baptism, we just witnessed it. Forgiveness of sins of the Holy Spirit. What a gift. And today we get to experience the gift of His Holy Supper again in His very body and His very blood. Ordinary bread, ordinary wine, becoming His body and blood. Forgiving us, strengthening us, and preserving us, preserving our faith. And then last week, Pastor Gerber reminded us that Jesus suffered once and for all. Once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. Why? That He might bring us to God. That He might bring us to God. Today we consider and celebrate another gift, possibly the most special gift God could or has ever given us, living water. The living water Jesus tells the people about when He stands up. He told us about in our gospel reading a gift they would need, a gift we still need today. The setting is Jerusalem. It's during one of the three major feasts. They're instituted by God through who? Begins with M. I think I heard it a little louder. Moses, right? Ten Commandments.
Take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. Remember that? Moses.
There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was Passover. We understand Passover. When the angel of death passed over the houses with the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lentils. The Feast of Weeks, which was the Jewish Pentecost. Penta means 50, close. 50. You might be right, but I'm pretty sure it's 50 because they call it Pentecost. Because it was 50 days after Passover. Our Pentecost that we celebrate today is 50 days after what? His resurrection. He ascended to heaven 40 days. So this celebration celebrated the fruits of the harvest of the wheat. It was in the fall. And it was a celebration also for God giving them the Ten Commandments and the law at Mount Sinai. And finally, the third feast, which is the feast spoken of in our reading today, The Feast of Booths, we don't know a lot about that. We don't talk about it a lot. The Feast of Booths. They celebrated every fall. Big deal. Jews from all over, all these countries came to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And it's a celebration when they remembered God's provision for them for how many years in the wilderness? 40 years in the wilderness God provided for them. And this feast helped them remember that provision. It was during the last day of this celebration. Jesus is in the temple. Jews from all these nations are there celebrating the Feast of Booths. Last day of the celebration. 7-day celebration. And there's mulling and round and people teaching. Maybe a little preaching. People just talking. And Jesus stands up and he cries out. He doesn't just stand up and say this. He stands up and he cries out. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Come to me and drink. He had to be loud. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. My grandparents had a creek that ran through their pasture. My brother Ryan and I, when baseball was over, which was about middle of July, back when school started at the end of August, oh, we had all kinds of time to go out to Grandma and Grandpa Tell's house, and we spent so many hours down at the creek. Not the creek, it was the rock creek. The rock creek. Right, Harvey? That's right. And we were down there, it was July and August. You know how hot it used to be hotter back then, right? Seemed like it. We didn't care. Oh, we messed around. We fished. Has anyone here ever fished the Rock Creek? What you catch in the Rock Creek are suckers. They're the goofiest looking things. Oh, but we would have fun. And we feed them to the cats. If you caught a bullhead, that was a big deal. And we thought we would find gold. And there's always these little pebbles. That's why it's called the Rock Creek. There's little rocks everywhere. We thought we were going to find gold. We didn't find gold. I think we did a little skinny dipping too. But man, we would get hot. And we would get thirsty. We would get thirsty. I'm like really, really thirsty. And the only water, we weren't going to drink it out of the creek, so we'd have to go all the way back up the hill, turn on the hydrant, take the cup. You know what I'm talking about? The little metal cup that hung on this little piece of wire. Yep. But we didn't want to leave the creek. It's too much fun. Well, the Rock Creek doesn't even dry up during the summer. You guys know where the Rock Creek is. Pretty close to you guys. As hot and dry as it could get, there was always water flowing in. It's always pretty cold. You know why? S word. Springs. Springs, and I mean cold bubble. You could just see it. These little pools of springs. And you would watch as the water would come out of that hole. And the loose dirt, it was like a mini volcano. And it was just crystal clear and it was cold. Can you see it? Can you taste it? Maybe you're even yearning for it. Well, Jesus knew people were thirsty too. And I remember getting ahead of myself. We'd just bend down. Little pool, just water, I mean cold water, coming from the bottom of the earth, cold as you can imagine. And we would take our hands like this, right? And we'd just bend down, we'd drink. And we'd get some more, and we would just drink and drink. It was like we couldn't ever get enough. Because we were thirsty. And we weren't carrying our water bottles around. Anyone have a water bottle here today? There's a few. Would have that been the dumbest thing you ever thought of 40 years ago, carrying a water bottle around everywhere? But we didn't need it, did we? We had fresh, cold water. And Jesus knows and knew that we're thirsty. The world is thirsty for living water. The Holy Spirit promised to the disciples so many times. But in this setting where Jesus is, in the middle of this celebration, Jesus stands up and tells everyone he has a gift for them. A most special gift, living water, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time when Jesus has already been glorified. What a blessing. Jesus has already died for you. Jesus has already risen for you. And today, the Holy Spirit has already been poured out in you through the living waters of baptism, just like we witnessed happening moments ago when the living waters of God entered into the heart of little Matthias Cruz, bringing him faith. A faith that is to flow out of him someday. It's what we're called to do, friends. Living waters are not a stagnant pond. Water that doesn't move, water that doesn't flow, just sits there, stagnant, vegetation dying. I can only imagine what that smells like. The Holy Spirit is living water that flows freely and moving and bringing life. This is living water. This is a water that illustrates quenching a thirst for God's gifts that he only provides. Gifts that seem ordinary, but are miracles. Again, those gifts Pastor Gerber has been sharing with us the last few weeks. Jesus dying and rising for you. Jesus forgiving you through absolution, which we will do again after the sermon. Forgiving you through word and sacrament. Ordinary things that the Holy Spirit makes miraculous. But there are more gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. More gifts. Gifts for you and gifts for me. Gifts that are to flow out of us. Flow out of us because of our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has placed in our hearts. Gifts like, and you know these, Paul gives these gifts to us in Galatians. Gifts like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gifts that are to flow out of us onto others and into others. Those gifts. A reminder, what Jesus said in our reading today. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How's that going for you? Living waters flowing out of you. These gifts aren't complicated. You can love. You can be patient. You can be gentle. You can have self-control. You can, well, all of them, right? You get the picture. But we aren't always, are we? Loving and patient and kind and faithful and gentle. We don't always have self-control. I know I don't. We have three cats, and one cat's name is Izzy. She has the most annoying meow God has ever created in a cat. Ever. Sometimes I'm patient with Izzy. Oftentimes I'm not. No self-control. Shut up, Izzy! Not kidding. Not kidding. And sometimes a few more words. No self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. I'm sorry. At times I'm the water on the left and not on the right. Which water are you? Like I have said before from this location, it probably depends on the day. Might even depend on the hour or even the minute. Living water flowing out of us is a gift for others. A gift for others. Living water is not meant to be kept to ourselves. The priest during the Feast of Booths, which we've been talking about, would dip water from the Pool of Siloam and bring it to the temple and then bring it to the altar. Yes, the same Pool of Siloam that Jesus told the man born blind at birth to wash off the spit-made mud from his eyes that Jesus had placed over them. Here's a modern-day rendition of what the Pool of Siloam would have looked like. The pool was fed by a spring, the Gihon Spring. Now, priests on the last day of the festival would dip water from this pool with golden pitchers, and then they would process back to the temple and ultimately back to the altar. They would process back rejoicing and singing and waving branches, and it symbolized God's provision in the wilderness those 40 years, pointing to the hope of the outpouring of the Spirit into God's people. The same Spirit the prophet Ezekiel revealed to God's people and reveals to us today. Ezekiel 36, 600 years before Jesus. I will sprinkle clean water on you. We just witnessed it, didn't we? I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you, not on you, within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. 600 years before Jesus. 600 years before Jesus stood up at the temple and cried, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Today we celebrate Jesus offering himself as the source of living water, exactly what the apostles experienced in Acts 2. the day of our Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. The thirsty come to Christ by faith and become flowing rivers of his Spirit to a very dry world, a world, as we know, very thirsty for truth, a world thirsty for living water. God's a gift that never stops giving, a faithful gift, resulting in faith, faith that saves, faith for anyone who thirsts, anyone. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.